Today is the 74th anniversary of the Pearl Harbor attack. And after that attack, people here in the Seattle area were afraid, and authorities took the possibility of another attack seriously.
There will be a complete blackout tonight at 11 o'clock. That blackout is not only for the city of Seattle. It includes every light between the California border, or rather the Mexican border, and the Canadian border. That is in the states of Oregon, Washington, and California. Every farmhouse, every light of any kind in that area must be out by 11 o'clock.
Felix Bunnell hosts the media history series This Not Just In for KUOW and is also a producer and a historian for Cairo Radio. And he's looked at how the Pearl Harbor attack affected people here in the Seattle area. And Felix, I just want to first ask about this massive blackout of radio and lights. Why did they do it?
Well, I mean, the short answer is that a radio signal can be used as a homing beacon. And in 1941, technology was such, we didn't know. There could have been a massive flotilla of aircraft carriers off the coast of Washington waiting to send in waves of Japanese attack bombers, as was done in Hawaii. We just didn't know. We couldn't rule that out. And because, you know, because radio works as a homing signal, first thing you do is you shut off the radio stations. That piece of tape, by the way, every time I hear that, I've heard that so many times, I hear it, it makes the back of my neck tingle and makes me terrified to think what that must have been like to be sitting in Seattle on this day, 74 years ago, and hear your only source of information, you know, no internet, nothing, saying they're going to shut down, lights are going to be off, and that's it. You know, good luck.
The fear was real.
Yeah, and you know what the cool, I say the cool thing, I get excited about this kind of history, and I don't mean to be flippant about it, but in March of 1941, the authorities here in Seattle said, you know, war is probably imminent. World War II is already raging in Europe. The Japanese are already being aggressive in the Pacific. Chances are war is going to come to Seattle. And so they launched the first ever of its kind in the continental United States, a blackout drill on March 7th, 1941. Life magazine took these beautiful pictures of it, taken from the top of the Northern Life Tower down at 3rd and University. And it looks out over the city, and at 10 o'clock that night, they gradually shut off all the lights in the city and kept them off for 20 minutes. And so people were accustomed to this notion of what a blackout was. They'd actually experienced it firsthand. Add to the fact that Edward R. Murrow, who grew up in Western Washington and was broadcasting for CBS, had been in London for 2 years at this point, reporting on these bombing raids and bombs being dropped on a city. And so the notion of a blackout and planes dropping bombs, it was very palpable to people in Seattle. And so the fear definitely was real.
And given all of that fear, I'm wondering, we hear a lot about Japanese internment and remember that as kind of a sad and tragic chapter in American history. But given the moment, I mean, how much support was that for people in Seattle who were not Japanese?
Well, I mean, on the evening of December 7th, the Seattle police, I think they arrested 51 Japanese people. And I don't know of that number who were actually American citizens versus who were not. And then a few months later, the Roosevelt administration issued this order to, you know, quote unquote, evacuate Japanese, including American citizens from the West Coast. And the support for that, I think, was pretty widespread. I know, ironically, when I used to work for the Museum of History and Industry, I was going through the file in the old Boeing float plane from 1917. And in the minutes when that plane was taken, the donation was taken in 1942, it also said, oh, by the way, we've sent letters of support for Japanese evacuation to our congressional delegation. So unsolicited, the Seattle Historical Society was sending letters of support saying, yes, we should evacuate the Japanese from the West Coast.
Hmm. What parallels do you see, if any, between the sort of anxiety or fear that people felt after the Pearl Harbor attack and the fears that we're seeing there today, this kind of gnawing anxiety, whether it's fear of ISIS or fear of just gun violence?
I think it's this fear of the unknown, where in 1941, we didn't have the technology to let us know if there were aircraft carriers off of Cape Flattery. Now we don't have the technology to let us know if the people down the street are radicalized. I mean, it's almost scarier because the threat could be from within, right? We don't know exactly how it's going to turn out. You listen to World War II cuts, you listen to Pearl Harbor. It's scary, but we know how it turned out. We know that the Allies eventually prevailed. And there's sort of this, I don't know, beginning, middle, and end. It's like a movie, right, if you didn't live through it. But with this story, we don't know the end. And it feels like it really started in earnest on September 11th. And it's flared up with different incidents, including what happened in San Bernardino last week. But we don't have any clear narrative arc for how there's no enemy to go over and vanquish. There's not an organization or a country waging war against us. It's this unknown. It's the darkness. It may as well be Cape Flattery, 1941.
And of course, Roosevelt had wanted the U.S. to get involved with World War II before the Pearl Harbor attack. And in some ways, this was not the opportunity, but the moment he needed to galvanize support. It hadn't been enough support before Pearl Harbor.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, that whole Roosevelt and the how much Roosevelt knew and how much Roosevelt...
Oh, no, not that he knew.
Yeah, I know. But
he simply wanted the U.S. to get involved.
It was certainly a way.
And at that time, conservatives were isolationists.
Yeah.
What have been the lasting impacts of Pearl Harbor, do you think, especially here in the Seattle area?
Well, World War II made a huge impact on Western Washington with the defense industry here and the amount of money that was poured into this area. 1930s were rough. The Depression was pretty bad. Jobs were scarce. The difference in retail spending between 1940 and 1941, it jumped 25% in this country, mainly as a result of all this investment in defense work. And there was huge, huge defense infrastructure here in Washington, as well as Navy bases, Army bases, and just a lot of activity that really helped this region bounce out of the Depression in a way that if there hadn't been all the prep, that wouldn't have happened.
So if it hadn't been for Pearl Harbor, what?
I mean, that's hard to say. It's always hard to look at something that drastic a difference. I mean, ultimately, the U.S. would have been in World War II. I mean, Pearl Harbor was this singular event, right? Up until 9/11, everyone talked about, you know, Pearl Harbor moments, a sneak attack, a surprise attack. It's like Pearl Harbor. Now we have two. We've experienced two things like that in this country. I think what I've learned is you can't act in fear. No matter what, you have to sort of think, what's the smart and strategic thing to do to respond to this threat or this potential threat? And so, I don't know.
Felix Bunnell, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
He's a producer and historian for Cairo Radio, and you're listening to The Record on KUOW.